We almost have an interesting mathematical thing here. What do I say? Philo Torah Zoom Shiur for Yomer VE, Wednesday, the 26th day of Iyar, 5786, corresponding this year to the 13th of May. What's interesting is that 13 of May times 2, 26 of ER, and 13 times 3, oh, that doesn't work. 13 times 3 would make it 39, and it's the 41st day of the Omer. So we're 2 days off of a trifecta. Okay, didn't work. Share. Okay, before we start, I just want to mention, we've been doing it for a while, of saying one of the Tehillims of thanks and praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the many miracles and successes we have enjoyed from him. And we've been alternating with chapter Kuf and Kuf Nun. Now, the reason that I have both of those there is on Shabbat in my minyan, we don't do Kuf, because Mizmor Latoda is purposely not said during Psukei Dezimra, which it is every other day of the week, because the Korban Todah to which it refers was not brought on Shabbat. So on Shabbat, I've been using the last capital of Tehillim, Kuf Nun 150, as you see on the screen there below. And we've been alternating. But I think what I want to do now is stick to Kuf, a short capital thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we've been taking two out of three of the Tehillim of Bakasha, of request, and we'll continue to do that. So, with that said, Tehillim Kuf, chapter 100. Mizmor l'todah, hariu l'Adonai kol ha'aretz, Ivdu et Adonai b'simcha, ba'u lifanav birnana. Du'u ki Adonai hu Elohim, hu asanu, hu v'lo anachnu, amo v'tzon ma'arito. Ba'u sha'rav b'todah, chatzerotav b'tehillah, hodu lo baruch hu shemo, ki tov Adonai le'olam chasto, ve'ador v'ador emunato. David, Kuf Kaf Aleph 121.
Adonai Yishmar Tzei Shavuacha Me'ata V'ad Olam.
Kuf Lamed, Shir Hama'alot Mima'amakim Kraticha Adonai, Adonai Shema V'Koli, Tehiyena Oznecha Kashuvot L'Kol Tachanunai, Im Avonot Tishmor Yah Adonai Mi Ya'amod, Ki Imcha Haslicha L'Ma'an Tivarei, Kiviti Adonai Kiveta Nafshi V'Lidvaro Hochalti, Nafshi L'Adonai Mi Shomerim La'Boker, Shomerim La'Boker, Yachel Yisrael El Adonai, Ki Im Adonai HaChesed, V'Harbe Imo Fidut, V'Hu Yifdeh Et Yisrael, Mikol Avonotav. Mark.
Yishevirach מן הלבנון ועד עבר מצרים ומן הים הגדול עד לבוא הערבה על כל מקום שהם ביבשה באוויר ובים יתן אדוני אש אויבינו הקמים עלינו ניגפים לשניהם הקדוש ברוך הוא ישמור ויציל את חיילינו מכל צרה וצוקה מכל נגע מחלה וישלח ברכה והצלחה בחמת ידיהם ידבר שונאינו תחתיהם ויעטרים בפסר ישועה ובעטרת ניצחון וקוים בהם הכסוף כי אדוני אלוהיכם ההולך עמכם להילחם לכם עם אויביכם להושיע אתכם ונאמר אמן.
Amen. Together, Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael Hanatunim Batzara Uvashivya, Ha'omedim Bein Bayam, Bein Bayabasha, Uvein Ba'avir, Hamakom Yerachem Aleihem, Viotiem, Mitzara Lirvacha, Umeafela Laura, Umishibud Lagula, Hashta Ba'agala, Uvizman Kariv, Venomar Amen. Okay, I want to review with a little bit more detail some of the things that came up on Monday. And Judy just reminded me also about the candle lighting thing that I said, which I'll spell out again. But I want to start first with the Su'udah Shlishit situation, this Shabbos in particular. Let me read to you what Luach Eretz Yisrael by Rav Tukachinsky. This is like the definitive calendar for shuls. I mean, there are others, but this is a favorite. And in the entry for Bamidbar, first of all, it says that the Haftorah is Machar Chodesh. We spoke about that. And Rosh Chodesh is Sunday. But unlike most Rosh Chodesh benching days, and even an Erev Rosh Chodesh might knock it out, I don't know. We definitely say Av Harachamim this Shabbat. And one of the reasons that's given is that the original Shabbat for Av Harachamim was the Shabbat before Shavuot. I don't know why. I don't remember why. But that's where it all started. So even if there are guidelines of when you don't say Av HaRachamim, this Shabbat you definitely do. At Mincha you don't say Tzidchas HaTzedek because it's right before Rosh Chodesh. And Pirkei Avot is Perek Vav. Now, here's what he writes in smaller print. Hamamshich su'udah shlishit toch halayla. Person who extends shalosh shudos into the night. Im lo achal pat balayla. If he did not eat bread after dark. Velo hitpaleil arvit velo hivdil. And he also didn't have ma'ariv or say havdalah. Omer Ritzei Velo Ya'alev Yavo, and that's clear, which means that you can start your Su'udah Shlishit. I said on Monday, and I'll say it again, you should bench before dark, but if you don't, and you haven't eaten bread, even if you've eaten other stuff on the table, after dark, then there's no question you only say Ritzei and Birkat Hamazon. However, he adds, Umi she'ochal pat gam balayla, person who eats bread also at night, hichnis et atzmo beplugta rabota. He enters into a big machloket, a big argument, a big debate. According to the Magen Avraham, he should say Ya'aleh v'yavo when he finishes the meal, because it's already Rosh Chodesh in the world, and not Ritzei. According to the Taz, Turei Zahav, and those who follow him, he says to say Ritzei and Ya'aleh v'yavo. And according to the Orach HaShulchan, and those who follow that school of thought, you say just Ritzei and not Yala V'yavo. Vilachain, and therefore, Tov Lihizaher, Shelo le'echol balayla. It's best if you don't eat bread after dark, because you shouldn't enter into safek. V'im shaha yoter michdei achilat prasa, that's michdei shiur equal hamazon, then you don't say rizeh either, and you don't have to make it up, whatever. Okay, that's different. So let me, before we go and broaden the picture to Suda Shlishit and then get into the candle lighting thing, let me say something that I said then, and I think it's important for us to keep in mind. When you grow up in a religious home and you've been religious all your life and you haven't even rebelled at any point in your life, a lot becomes routine. Been there, did it, doing it again. Week after week, some things day after day, some things year to year. But they not only don't remain fresh, they also become routine, which leads to automatic pilot and doing things by rote without even thinking. And every time you review the halachic details of a situation, the goal is on several different targets. Sometimes you say, hey, I've been doing that all the time. I didn't know that. So then you might incorporate a new detail. Or I do that all the time, but now I at least know that it's the preferred opinion. Or at least the next time you do whatever we're talking about, you'll be thinking about it a little bit more. And that's important because of the concept of kavanah. I don't know how many people who sit down to the table on Friday night and for one moment, couple of seconds, say in their minds, I am hereby fulfilling the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbat by having a nice meal, and the mitzvah, or the, let's call it, the practice of three meals, this being the first. I don't know, you just sit down, you make kiddush, that's fine, although there are probably people who don't have in mind what they're saying kiddush for. And the same thing goes. Netilat Yadayim becomes routine. For a moment, I don't know if it's expected that every single time you'll wash your hands, but ask yourself the question, when was the last time you washed your hands and thought that it is one of the things that we add spirituality to the mundane act of eating? And that's what it is. Now, I have mixed feelings about hineni muchan zumazumans. There are people, I asked this a couple last week or something like that, how many say the hineni muchan before Sfirat HaOmer and how many don't? So from the very little survey that we were able to take in this group and the people who participated in it, it was marginally more that don't say hineni muchan than do say hineni muchan. Now, hineni muchan u'mezuman is not required. The bracha is required if you're still saying a bracha, and the counting of the omer is required. But I have found from long experience, and I think looking at the names here on my screen, oh no, maybe there's someone with longer experience. My experience has been that Hineni muchan umezuman l'kayim mitzvat aseh shel sfirat haomer focuses me. It adds that little extra kavana, like a tap on the shoulder, to say, of course you're going to count the omer, but keep in mind that it's a mitzvah in the Torah, or nowadays, according to most opinions, it's derabanan. All of these things add quality to the performance of a mitzvah. Let me jump for a moment to different things. I've told you this in the past, but I just gave it recently in a different talk. When you have a house cleaner or a babysitter or a taxi driver, that you pay for the service that that person rendered, you are fulfilling the mitzvah in the Torah of biyomo titein secharo. It's one of the 613 mitzvot of the Torah. And when you take a lulav and etrog into your hands, that's also a mitzvah from the Torah, you usually have kavanah for the mitzvah of lulav and etrog, arba minim, because otherwise you wouldn't be doing it. You don't go around holding these four species except when you're involved actively and thinking about it, the mitzvah. But paying a cab driver at the end of a taxi ride is no less a mitzvah in the Torah than Arba Minim on the first day of Sukkot. In fact, paying a taxi driver is even more than Arba Minim on the second day of Sukkot, which is only Derabbanan. But it's a mitzvah. But it's a mitzvah that people do anyway. Many people don't know it's a mitzvah. Why do you pay the taxi driver? You pay him because that's what you do to a taxi driver. You call a taxi, you go tell him where you're going, and when you get out, you pay the fare. Everybody does that, or everybody's supposed to do that. But that extra dimension of knowing and thinking at that moment that is a mitzvah aseh in the Torah, plus a mitzvah lo ta'aseh that you're fulfilling by not violating. And that's called linat sechar, leaving it over for another time, which you wouldn't do. I mean, I could keep pushing this idea, but it applies to everything that we do. The Chafetz Chaim was the one who suggested, not suggested, he explained that doing a mitzvah without thinking about it, you get credit for it usually. And doing it with kavana, you get more credit. How much? I don't know. Nobody knows how God keeps score, but it's something to keep in mind. And what I'm telling you now, I am taking seriously, and my Shabbos meals and my hamotzi and my netilat yadayim and my kiddush will be a little better quality because I'm talking about it. And I hope that from Wednesday till Friday night, I'm going to remember some of these things and keep it in mind. But it's the kind of thing that should be reviewed every so often, not even just for that, but also what I said before, that the possibility of saying, I didn't even know that. Okay, so that's one concept. There's another concept. We In this review of Sudah Shlishit, and then if we get a chance to talk about making hamotzi, there are always different opinions. And I want to say one thing about that in general. The Mishnah, go back to the Mishnah, is filled with machloket. Tanna Kamma says this, Rabbi Yehuda says that, Beit Shammai says this, Beit Hillel says that, Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Eliezer. Now, in almost all machloket, debates, disputes, there is a halacha, pesukah, a psak halacha, of which one we follow. Occasionally, the rule is take your pick. And sometimes it's left as a machloket. But much more often, opinion A, opinion B, the halacha is like A or B. So the question is, why do we need these two opinions? Why tell me about an opinion that someone had that we don't follow? But the idea of how halacha developed, including the concept of machloket, including the concept of safek, these are all part to complete a picture that also helps us not take things for granted, but to realize that we are following, and halacha, from the word lalechet, is much, much more than religious law. It's a way of life, and it applies all over. With that said, let's go to example of Sudashli Sheet now. And Judy, you have to be patient. Hopefully we'll get to the candles also. But listen to how this goes. I'm using now the sefer called Yena Shel Torah, the wine of Torah, on Shabbat Kodesh. There are a number of volumes, and I found this is one of the best to review these kind of halachot. But I did double and triple check in two other svarim, and I'm on sturdy ground in presenting it from here. Okay, watch. Here. Hayav Adam lechol su'udah shlishit b'Shabbat. A person has to eat a third meal on Shabbat. V'yehei zahir lekayama, and you have to be careful, meticulous to fulfill it. Af im hu sava, even if you're full, or let's say satisfied. Hakol chayavim b'sudazo, all are obligated on Sudashli sheet. Afilu nashim uketanim. Then there's a footnote. So you check the footnotes because often the footnote will bring another opinion. And sure enough, there is another opinion that he says in the footnote that Nashim are peturot from Sudashli Sheet. Doesn't give a reason. I would have to do more research to see why anyone says that a woman is exempt. But I was a little harsh on Monday. Now I have to be a little softer, remembering that there is that other opinion, because many, many shuls ignore the fact that most of the guys that stay between Mincha and Maariv for Suda Shlishit and are eating tuna salad and egg salad with their challah rolls and stuff like that, leaving their wives home, what about Suda Shlishit for them? So here's an example. In the text, it said all are obligated on Sudashli sheet, including women. You need to go down to the footnote to see that there is another opinion on the books that women are exempt. This is different, subtly different, from presenting in the text of the book both opinions. In other words, the author, I think, has to be realistic and expect that some people will not look at the smaller print. I remember when I was needing reading glasses and hadn't gotten them yet, that I was able to read the Torah and the Chumash and Rashi, and Bala Turim I had to give up on. It just was too small. And then I got Bala Turim glasses, which is what I called them. And this varies from person to person. And sometimes the footnotes in these kind of svarim are loaded with abbreviations and acronyms that you don't know what they are anyway. And you sort of give up and you go back to the text. But a woman whose husband, let's say, stays in shul for Sudashli Sheet, can rely on the other opinion that women are not obligated on it. I would think that in honor of Shabbat and in honor of Oneg Shabbat, which applies to men and to women, that a woman would want to do Shalashuras. But watch, there's more. Then he adds, "V'tzorech lechavein ba latzeit yidei chova shel su'udah shlishit misu'udot haShabbat." It's not just that you're sitting down to a meal or a snack; it's kavana to fulfill the mitzvah of three meals a day on Shabbat. Now, this is based on the fact that there were times where people only ate two meals a day, one in the morning and one in the evening. And whatever they did in the afternoon was not a formal meal because they were out in the fields or in the cow pastures or whatever, but this is became a definition of Oneg Shabbat. Misha'eino yachol le'echol, a person who can't eat, einot tzorech le'tza'er atzmo. He is not obligated at all to pain himself and eat. Mipnei she'su'udot Shabbat le'oneg nitnu v'lo le'tza'ar. In other words, there are many mitzvot that we have to do even if we don't like it. I use the example of a person who had a bad experience with fire, and he's still or she is afraid to strike a match and cringes whenever there's a fire. And her family knows already that on her birthday cake they put something else, but not candles, because she doesn't like fire. Bad experience. She still has to light Hanukkah candles. I mean, that's not something that you say. If you don't feel like it, then it's okay. In the case of Suda Shlishit, three Shabbos meals are meant for Oneg Shabbat, and if that contradicts your status, then you don't do it. But watch more. I'm skipping the part about the timing at the moment. I don't know if we'll get to it now. Ein mekadshin al hayayin kodem suda shlishit. We don't make kiddush before suda shlishit like we did at lunch and like we did the night before. V'tov levarech al hayayin betoch ha-seuda. However, it is good to make a borei pri hagafen on wine during the meal. It does not go before hamotzi. It goes in its normal place after hamotzi. And you could ask the question, am I supposed to do that? Do I have to do that? Is it better if I do that? I think that's the kind of thing when he says in the text that it's nice to do, then you could decide. You can say, I don't like wine that much. You know, I tolerate it for Kiddush and for Arba Kosot and stuff like that, but it doesn't excite me. So there's definitely no obligation to have wine at Shalashuddas, but if you like wine, it's a nice thing to have a modest amount of wine. Then he has a discussion on covering the challahs, not going to get into that now, and he speaks about Lechem Mishnah. So he listened to how this breaks down. Botzim al Lechem Mishnah besuda zo. On Suda Shlishit, you break bread with two loaves. Kishe ochel pot, when you're eating bread. V'yesh sovrim ki dai b'lechem echad shalem. That some say it's enough to have one challah. V'yesh lahachmir likach shnei lechamim shleimim k'deah harishonah. So here's an example where he builds into the text both opinions and puts in his two cents about which one you should follow, meaning ideally there should be Lechem Mishnah. Umikol makom yicholim litzareif uga lelechem Mishnah. You could take a piece of cake or a cookie and include that in as Lechem Mishnah. Okay. And eating this and that. Okay, wait. That's the timing. I wanted to read to you the whole bunch of, and these, and there are those that say, and there are those that say, and there are those that say. Okay. Here. V'yesh mekilim. He says you have to eat bread at Shalashuddas. There are those that are lenient, v'sovrim sheyecholim lekayimah b'ma'achal ha'asui me'echad mi'chameshet minei dagan she'mevarchin alav bori minei mizonot. So, can you use crackers that you make a mizonot on for Suda Shlishit? Not according to the first opinion he brings, but the second opinion says there are those who accept that also. V'yesh mekilim yoter, v'sovrim sheyuchal l'kayma b'dvarim שמלפטין את בהן הפס, כבשר ודגים וכיוצא בהם. Things that usually accompany bread, like meat or fish, that's where the herring comes from, shalashutas, that could be enough also. But not fruit. V'yesh omrim sha'afilu b'peirot yachol l'kayma, v'chein b'yayin. So you have on whom to rely if you want to follow the preferred. Now, who says it's preferred? This particular person who wrote this sefer, but you check it out in any svarim, and you will find that having bread at Sudash Lishit is always considered preferable. But then the issue is, I just had a meal, it went late, I'm still full, so you want me to eat bread again? Give me a break. So there is a basis on which to say, okay, you're not hungry. You know what? A fruit, piece of watermelon, whatever. Have in mind that this is your Sudash Lishit. Is this the way Sudash Lishit should be? Maybe not. Are you Yotze with Sudash Lishit on fruit? There is an opinion that says yes. This gives us the luxury of being a little flexible in these kind of things. And I say what I said on Monday, better than claiming you're hungry and therefore getting away with a cracker or a piece of fruit is don't be so full. In other words, divide your meal in such a way, eat less then, include it now. I mean, it could be something simple like, you know what? We'll save, we're not going to have dessert now because we're pretty satisfied. We'll include it in the Sudash Lishit. There is a pasuk about a righteous person. No, I think it starts with a wicked person falls. I wish I remembered the pasuk now. Seven times, and a righteous person gets up each time. It's not really that. It's something else. The path of God is straight. Tzadikim yelchu bo. Righteous people will walk on that path. Rishaim yikashluvo. And wicked people will fall. So you say to yourself, what do you mean righteous people will handle the path of God well? That must be keeping mitzvot. And a bad person is one who doesn't keep mitzvot. That's not what the Mefarshim say. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, who is a person who is considered in that pasuk a righteous individual that walks God's path properly? The one who doesn't prepares in advance to eat the Korban Pesach when he's not full, when he's just satisfied from his meal. And who is the Rasha that falls on the path, the one who is stuffed, and his eating of the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal at Seder is a torture. Now that's weird. You would think calling someone a Rasha would mean a person who disregards Shabbos, knows about it, doesn't care about it, and doesn't keep it. And that's one of the definitions. But to actually distinguish, here are two people. They are both at a Pesach Seder. They are both eating from Korban Pesach, or let's say Afikomen today. And the difference between these two people is that one of them went easy on dessert and easy on the main dish and the side dishes so that he was very satisfied from his meal, but he has room to enjoy the afikomen. And the other person saw the main dish, Asked for more, got more side dishes, another side dish, another side dish, another two desserts, three desserts. I'll have a little bit of each. And by the time you hand him that matzah for afikoman, he lets out a sigh saying, "How can I possibly eat this?" And he forces himself. This is, I am applying it to the way that Shabbat meals should work. Friday night, I don't think we have a problem. You eat and enjoy the meal, and you play Rummy Cube or Scrabble afterwards or chess. You learn Parshat HaShavua, you go to sleep in the next morning, and then you're hungry after shul. So the first meal takes care of itself. But Sudah Shlishit requires work, not to approach it stuffed. And that's something that's part of the Kavanah process. Okay. There's a lot more on that, but Judy was really interested in that other topic.
I was really interested in that as well, because the Shabbos shir that I go to, the Bala shir, has made that very clear, that Shalosh Udas is non-negotiable. You should have it.
Okay.
No, it was very interesting. So I hope you didn't cut it short because of me. I really
No, it
was
didn't,
interested.
but let's take a look at this here.
And the bench I have actually has Kiddush in it as well for Shalosh Udas.
Say again?
The bench I use, one of the benches I do, does have Kiddush for Shalosh Udas in it.
Before Hamotzi?
No, after the
Okay.
whole Nusa.
Okay.
I save some of my grape juice from Kiddush and leave it over for Shalosh Udas.
Okay, first of all, I discovered something that surprised me, and I hope nobody changes their practice, but at least you'll feel less guilty if it happens. Eimatai madlikin nerot Shabbat. When do we light it? The first answer, lifnot erev, before evening. Bishaa shahashemesh berosh ha'ilanot, at the time where the sun is at the top of the trees on its way down. V'hamachmir al atzmo, umakdim lahadlik chatzi sha'a, o lefachot shlish sha'a, kodem tchilat hashkia, ashrei lo. Very strange. This paragraph, which I've read many times, hit me because we are so used to looking on a calendar. Here's the calendar. Candle lighting this week is 6:53 in Yerushalayim. And 6:53 is candle lighting time. However, that's 40 minutes before sunset. And that would put sunset 53, 03, 13, 23, 33, 7:33. And according to the halacha, as long as you light Shabbos candles before shkia, sunset, that's when you're supposed to light. V'ein lidchot ul'hadlik b'sof hazman hamutar, but he adds, you should not wait until the end of the period of time when it's allowed to be lit. V'al kol panim, yesh lehizaher ligmor hadlakat neirot kodem tchilat hashkia. Tchilat hashkia is not when the sun completely sets; it's when the body of the sun starts to drop below the horizon. In other words, the setting of the sun takes a number of minutes. But if you were at sea level with an unobstructed view and you would see the sun just touch, let's say you're at the beach, touch the water, and then continue, 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 continue. So this is Tchilat Shkia. And that should be the absolute last time to light candles. But then he adds, Barov tefutzot Yisrael. In the majority, overwhelming majority, I added the word overwhelming, of Jewish communities, kav'u etzman ha-hadlaka. They fixed a time for lighting, esrim dakot, kodem tchilat hashkia, 20 minutes before the beginning of Shkia. Yerushalayim nohagim lahaktim ulahadlik 40 dakot kodem tchilat hashkia. I have to see what this tchilat hashkia actually does mean, but we'll see. Ve'ulam, yesh me'anshei edot mizrach shav Yerushalayim shelo kiblu aleihem chumrazo. It's the 40 minutes that's normal in Yerushalayim for an Ashkenazi, Sfarzim don't hold by. Because it's a chumra. Then he adds, you can rely on the clock. If you have an accurate clock or watch, and you don't have to look out in the sky and see if the sun is setting or, because not everybody has a view of it anyway, could be cloudy, whatever. And a person has to encourage his family, et cetera, to get ready for Shabbos on time so that candles could be lit on time. Now, Mi she'eino rotze lekabel Shabbat ve'eit hadlakat haner, a person who doesn't want to accept Shabbat with the lighting of the candles, asur lo lahakdim kol kach, he can't light early, aval rashai hu lahadlik b'sha'a sheregilim b'nei hamakom lahadlik. There's another thing coming, so be patient. The first statement was, if a woman is go or applies to a man also, but if a woman is going to make a tanai that I am not, I'm lighting candles, making a bracha, not yet accepting Shabbat. According to this, it should be at candle lighting time. Maybe a couple of minutes earlier is not a problem. But more than a couple of minutes early, he says here, you cannot light and not accept Shabbat. However, Rasha'it ha'isha lahakdim ulahadlik ner Shabbat hechel miplag hamincha, af she'ena mekabelet oleha adayin et ha'Shabbat, a woman can light as early as plag mincha without accepting Shabbat, uvilvad Sheba'ala yikabel alav et ha'Shabbat b'sha'a shehi madleket, provided her husband, and I'll add someone else in the household above the age of mitzvot, accepts Shabbat upon themselves. And that's what I said, and that's where I saw some faces, which are not open now, so I don't know if I could see them also. Im Hikdimu v'hidliku lo kiblu Shabbat be'eit ha'hadlaka yatzu yedei chovatam b'di'evet ve'ein tzorach l'chavot v'lachzor l'hadlik uvilvad shehei achar plag hamincha. Now this is important also, because then you have to weigh carefully. Here is a woman. I use the example of taking a ride to the kotel. They live close enough to walk back. They don't feel like walking in both directions. So they're going to take a taxi, let's say, or leave the car at the Kotel area. Not a practical thing. And they're going to drive. So the woman lights, has a tanai. Now, if it's candle lighting time, again, I said in Yerushalayim, I'm talking about the Kotel, 40 minutes gives a margin of getting someplace. And it's not just the Kotel. When we are invited to someone's house that we are planning on walking home, I'll use an example, one of my daughters, who takes us 43 to 45 minutes to walk back. Don't feel like walking there for 45 minutes and then walking back after supper for another 45 minutes. So I tell Debbie to have in mind to light candles with and say, I'm not yet accepting Shabbat, or think at least I'm not yet accepting Shabbat, but this is at the regular Zman, because we could get to my daughter in during the following 20 minutes without a problem, and that's done. But if someone needs more time, again, using today's and this Shabbos as an example, if candle lighting is 6:53, and you want to do it at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock is already after plag. Let's say even 6:15, 6:30, 6:30 to 6:53. 23 minutes early, somebody has to take Shabbat. And if nobody can, you got to come up with a different solution. I gave a shiur like this a long time ago at the Israel Center, and I'm smiling now in memory of it, because in remembering it, because months later, a woman came up to me in my office and said, "I have to ask your forgiveness." I said, "Why?" She said, "You gave that shiur, and I refused to believe it." And I went home, and after Shabbos, I called, or whatever, I called my rabbi, and he said, "Yeah, that's clear. That's the halacha." And I didn't want to believe him. So I asked somebody else. And when I got the third person who agreed and said the same thing, I realized that my daughter had been doing something wrong for years. The woman who was talking to me lived in Yerushalayim, the new city. Her daughter lived in the old city. Routinely, every Friday night, she would light early with a tannai that she's not accepting Shabbos yet, drive, her husband drove with her to her parents' house for supper, and they walked home. And now they had to come up with a different solution because you can't do that. Now, that does not mean that you can't ask your Rav, and he might say, "No, we don't follow that, or you don't have to follow that, and you can make a tanai anytime you want." I'll say again, the existence of machloket often, I'm sorry, I mentioned before and I didn't really finish. A machloket in the Mishnah. Beis Shammai says this, Beis Hillel says that. Halacha is like Beit Hillel. You can't say, "I like Beit Shammai better, I'll take it." In fact, the Mishnah has a story about that to emphasize how you can't take the opinion that is not the Psak Halacha. The story in the Mishnah is, I think it was Rabbi Tarfon, said to his chevra, "I was on the road on a trip. I came back, and it was time to say Kriyat Shema at night. And I stopped my donkey. I got off and lied down on the ground because Beit Shammai says, 'Bishachbecha uvakumecha,' means Kriyat Shema of the nighttime has to be said when you are lying down, Bishachbecha lahashkiv. And in the daytime, it has to be said standing up." Beit Hillel says, it says in that same passage in the Shema, "Uvalechtecha vaderech," even when you're walking on the road, you could say Shema. So that Bishachbecha uvkumecha does not mean that you have to lie down for Shema at night, but you could say it anyway, because Bishachbecha is the time. You say Shema at the time when people start to go to sleep, nighttime. So this guy says, this guy, this Tana says, "I did like Beit Shammai, got off my donkey and I lie down, and I was almost attacked by highwaymen," which today we'd say, "Oh, I almost got mugged." And his chevra said, "You would have deserved it." Imagine that. That was the answer that he got when he told this story. He thought he was doing a nice chumrah, following not only Beit Hillel, but also Beit Shammai. And on the road where it was dangerous to do, he lied down to say Shema, and he almost got attacked. And they said, "You would have deserved it because you didn't accept the halacha is like Beit Hillel, and Shema could be said in any posture." So when it's that kind of machloket, you don't have a choice. Even if you read the arguments about lighting Hanukkah candles, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you like Beit Shammai's opinion and the reasons given to you, they're more beautiful to light 8, first night? You can't. You have to light one the first night. But there are other kind of machloket, not from Tanoim and not from Amoraim in the Gemara. We're talking about poskim over the last several hundred years. Mishnah Brewer brings down a Shulchan Aruch, a Ramah, a this or a that. And if he does not come to a definitive conclusion, the halacha is this, then we have the flexibility to say, that opinion appeals to me more. I go back to what I mentioned on Monday. If I take Lechem Mishnah and I break both breads and cut them both up and give them out to people, any person who takes one piece of challah from the bread basket, that's his problem. If he wants to dafka take one from each, then it's available. But I would never push that on anyone. I would also yield if I'm in someone's house, and I wouldn't say, excuse me, can you please break both of the Lechem Mishnah? Because most people are counting on that second loaf remaining whole, maybe for the next meal, or back in the freezer. If you understand what I'm saying. So I have to, everyone has to, on those things that we're allowed to pick and choose, to pick and choose wisely. And there are little lessons to all of this. So, you could ask, so what does Lechem Mishnah mean? It means you have to eat from both, or is having two of them enough? Well, apparently, the majority of Poskim and the majority of the Jewish world, having two is enough. That honors the Mun, which honors the Shabbat by not falling on Shabbat, and that's fine. And the fact that Vilna Gaon, which became Minhag Yerushalayim, which remember, not everybody in Yerushalayim follows, by far. You like it? Go for it. If it's a financial burden, because buying six challahs for Shabbos is above your food budget or whatever, and I don't mean that facetiously, I mean it really, then go with four. Or take smaller ones, or whatever. Use pitot. You could use a square of matzah if you have leftover from Pesach, and you don't have the minhag of not eating shmur matzah during the year. But that's another issue. I actually bought a box of whole wheat matzah, not shmura, kosher LePesach, in order to have it available after Pesach for Lechem Mishnah, which I should mention the Sfardim don't do, because they don't consider matzah during the year to be hamotzi. They make a mizonot on it. And many years ago, Rav Avadia Yosef, as the Sfardi chief rabbi, requested of the Eda Charedis in Me'a Shearim that they should tell their people not to use matzah during the year for Lechem Mishnah. And the answer that he got was, for Ashkenazim, it's perfectly okay. So Rav Avadia asked, well, can you at least write like a warning message or something like that, that some people don't? And he said, no, Ashkenazi psak is that way and that way. Same thing with wine. You buy a sweet wine which has sugar in it, Sfardim will not make a Bori Pri HaGafen on it and won't use it for Kiddush. I got blown away when I went into a store and I brought a wine to the counter and the guy said, are you Sfardi or Ashkenazi? I said, do I look Sfardi? No. I said, what's the difference? He said, Sfardim won't make a Bori Pri HaGafen on that. And Ashkenazim will. So I've never seen that. Yeah, well, I have seen it on a hashkocha on the bottle where it will say, Birchato Borei Pri HaGafen, Afilu L'shitat HaBeit Yosef. meaning even Sfardim will make a Bori Pereg often on that wine. I went into a definitely Sfardi place in the Bukharan quarter, and he had homemade wines, a dry and a sweet. I said, how could you sell sweet if Sfardim hold that you don't make a Bori Pereg often on it? He says it has artificial sweetener, not sugar. Apparently, they'll accept sweet wine for Bori Pereg often if it doesn't have sugar, even if it has sorbitol or something else. Look, there's plenty more, but Judy, do you still have a question here that you want me to? I really encourage this issue of making a Tanai early. First of all, I can't quantify the timing. As I said, candle lighting 6:53. So 6:50, can I make it tonight? If I need those extra 3 minutes and I don't want it to be Shabbos, can my wife do that? I would say yes. What about 10 minutes? Once you start doing that, you need a definitive psak. I was talking a totally different issue with one of my daughters. Dairy after meat, 6 full hours, 5 and a half hours into the sixth hour. And that's all one opinion, because the other opinions are 3 hours or 4 hours or 1 hour. To which I always tell people there's another opinion that nobody follows, and that is 24 hours. So if you complain about waiting 6 hours, just know that there is a shita. And be thankful that that didn't become the psak, that after you eat meat, you can't eat dairy for another 24 hours.
Thank you, Phil. I
Okay.
just add 2 points, one question and 1 point,
Yep.
please. There's one of the shuls here, maybe other shuls do, that they have a later minyan for people on their own. There's a lot of single guys, like before mincha, and then there's nobody at home to accept Shabbat for them, so they make a late, so they, therefore they've made a later minyan for them. So instead of 7 o'clock, which is maybe the regular time to bring Shabbat in, even if Shabbat is 8, they do a 7:45 minyan, so that they presumably don't have that problem. They've lit at home, and it is already time that they can light. Yeah,
Okay,
is that
first,
right?
you're talking about men and women or just single guys?
Right. If a woman goes to shul as well, I guess maybe, but this was
No,
meant
because
more for the guys. This was meant for the guys.
a man does not automatically accept Shabbat when he lights candles.
Yeah, but if shul is normally 7 and Shabbat doesn't come in till 8:10, they're in problems at this for the 7 o'clock mincha minyan. So therefore, this shul has instituted a 7:45 mincha minyan for
Evanti.
them.
Okay.
Okay. Secondly, my question. Actually, I realised my question. Thank you very much. That was very informative. Michael, I don't have an issue about lighting early, but I always have this chilukei with my husband because his shul is at 7, and I'm never ready for Shabbat. So he says I should light by 7:30 because that's when he's mekabel Shabbat. And I thought he once told me that if I have in mind that I don't want to accept Shabbat that time, I don't have to. And
Okay,
Shabbat is at 8
all right, I'll explain it
Nagid.
again. It goes like this. If you lived in a community which took early Shabbat all the time, then you would need to coordinate with your husband that when he gets up to that part of the davening that's considered acceptance of Shabbat, you will have lit already.
Yeah,
But
that's what he said.
I used to write that, and then Rabbi Emanuel Feldman, a really contacted me, and he tweaked it by saying that when it's convenient, which anyone who takes Shabbos early during the summertime but not during the wintertime, he's doing it for convenience to have more time at supper or have the kids around or whatever. And therefore, what's convenient for the guy is not necessarily convenient to the wife. So I tell
Absolutely.
Debbie when I go to an early minyan that I only want her to make sure that she lights candles before I get home, because I shouldn't walk in after Kabbalat Shabbat and Maariv to a home that's still Vachadik.
Yeah, that
And
makes sense.
that's it. But not calculating when I will be up to Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbat or whatever, or Baruch Hu. that I don't insist on anymore. And when I write about this, which I do, there's a whole link to early Shabbos. I write that because
But
there's a.
I miss what you said. Rabbi Feldman said that based on what? I mean, that makes that I like that.
Rabbi,
But what? Who
that
did he say that?
if the husband's
Yeah,
choice
got it.
of early
Who did he base
Shabbos is not Peshitta,
on? Yeah, not
and
my
it's not
choice.
a
Then who did he
convenient
base it on?
of timing, then the wife is not necessarily
But that's
bound
what my
by the
husband
same
originally
rule.
said. But now he's changed his mind. But who did Rabbi Feldman base that on? Who did he say that was?
I will see if I could find it in print with a source. So
Yeah,
don't
likely.
get into Shalom bias is important here, especially because candle lighting is for Shalom bias in the first place. So I'll work on that
Thank you.
point for next time.
Thank you. Thank
So
you so much.
have an enjoyable Yom Yerushalayim, even if you don't live in Yerushalayim. Have a Shabbat Shalom, and on Shabbat, Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, the minhag is to recite the bracha of the shlo, tefillat hashlo, for children, for their being good people, and it could be said any time, but the original time it was designated for was dafka Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. You're all aware of this or not aware of this? On my website, Philo Torah, there is a box that says Tfilat Hashlah for Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, or anytime you want to say it. I know people who say it once a week and people who say it every day. It's a beautiful prayer that your descendants should be good people. And take a look at it at least. And then Chodesh Tov as well.
Yeah, I just found that in the Gemara that I was finishing up and putting away the Zevachim, probably from a different year.
You found what?
The Tfilas Hashlah the other day, yeah. And
Me
said it.
check with that.
Thank you.
Regarding wine, is there an Indian not to use, to only use red wine on Friday night?
I never heard of that. Only Pesach Seder has a shtickle preference.
Not to use white wine. Maybe it's a
My
Chabad thing.
Not
My
familiar.
husband said that it should only be red wine. For some reason, he got that as a source as well.
Yeah,
Red
let me
wine.
show you what the thing looks like from the website. Wrong. There. You see it? A parent's prayer? Oh, the apostrophe is in the wrong place. I can't say a parent's. Yeah, I can. Parents' prayer. Okay. The
We're
shlo
no,
writes.
we're seeing a different page.
Oh. Let me stop sharing and share again. And there. And share. The Shlach HaKadosh writes, it is particularly important to pray for good and upright children. While praying for this, one should also ask Hashem to provide them with all of their needs and to send them their life's mate. I believe that the most appropriate time to recite this prayer is on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, for that is the month when Hashem gave us his Torah and when we began to be called his children. Bonim atem. My added, this prayer is appropriate at any time of the year, but it is recommended for Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Do not hesitate to say it, even if Sivan has already begun. And there it is in Hebrew, and there is the English translation from Masorah Publications. Art Scroll. That's the story.
Hey, Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov.